Good morning, everyone. It's so wonderful to see you. Welcome to Rosedale United Church. Thank you for being with us on this snowy morning. Thank you for forming community. I think everyone here knows me, but in case people listening online don't, my name is Kristen. I'm the Minister for Worship and Spiritual Care, and with me in leadership is our Music Director, Dr. Sarah Svensson, our organ scholar, Oscar Hodgson. At the back, we have Angela, who's our new youth and family engagement lead. So whenever you have kids or grandkids here, know that Angela has programming, and alongside her is Mabel, who runs our nursery. Celine is on our live stream. Ben is on our sound. The choir is among you. And we together are Rosedale United, a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing here in the neighborhood and in our city. We gather to learn and to grow and to serve. We're proud to be an affirming congregation. We represent a variety of ages, gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, backgrounds. This is a place where everyone is welcome. Some announcements around supporting human flourishing today. We are gathering to make our 200 sandwiches for the Out of the Cold program down at St. Luke's twice this week. So today, immediately following the service, we'll be downstairs in Cop Hall making sandwiches. If you can spare half an hour, that's usually as long as it takes, we would appreciate your help. And then again, on Wednesday, midweek next week at 1 p.m., if you're around, we physically go down to St. Luke's and help with their afternoon meal prep. And usually that takes an hour and a half. So great way to be supporting your neighbors. Some other announcements. I'll direct your attention to your bulletin. Lots of things going on in our Rosedale Center. And kind of the most interesting thing, one of them is this Soiree for Curious Minds, which is a series of lectures, and the first one's coming up at the end of the month. I encourage you to check that out. Our artist, Catherine Cameron, will be joining us for coffee hour today, and you're seeing her beautiful floral paintings on our walls, so we encourage you to stay for coffee time, warm up before you go back out, say hello to our artist. And some other announcements this morning. Doug Norris was meant to be our guest preacher this morning, has wisely decided to stay off the highways and has sent us a video message instead from Algonquin Highlands. So you will be seeing and hearing Doug, and he may be watching right now as well. So hi, Doug. Thank you for sending us your message, and we look forward to hearing from you as always. And some pastoral announcements this morning. Our Sunday morning custodian, Ian, his sister passed away this week. And so we're sending love and support to him. If you pass Ian today, give him your love and your condolences as well. And we're also thinking of Reverend Roberta Howie, who was the interim minister for youth and family here during COVID times. Roberta lost her mother just on Friday this week, and so our hearts go out to Roberta and her family as well. In the spirit of community and warmth and compassion and care, I invite you to stand as you are able, and to join together in our call to worship. Bring to this house your poverty, for then we shall be rich. Bring to this house your pain, that sharing it, we may also share your joy. Bring to this house your understanding of us, that we may be freed to learn more about you. Bring to this house your understanding of us, that we may be freed to learn more of you. Bring to this house all those who hurry or hobble behind you, that we may meet you as the Savior of all. Bring to this house your Holy Spirit, that this may be a cradle of love, with friend, with stranger, with neighbor, and the well-known ones, be among us this day, for the doors of this house we open, and the doors of our hearts we leave ajar. We sing together our opening hymn, Mothering God, You Gave Me Birth. Peace of Christ be with you all. Friends, I invite you to turn to those who are around you and extend this peace of Christ, saying, peace be with you, and also with you. Prayer hands are okay. Just make sure you greet someone you haven't seen in a while or someone you don't know. Christ candle this morning. This Christ candle is a symbol of Christ's light and love with us whenever two or three are gathered. Christ has promised to be there. An invitation to silence as we open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirits for prayer. Let us pray. God of all love, we travel up and down the daily routines in our lives, and we know you are with us. We ask you to open our hearts, minds, and spirits to embrace your loving presence in this worship time today, so that we may go out and live your love in the ups and downs of our daily routines. And we join our hearts together now as we say our prayer of confession to you. We say together, before God and with the people of God, we confess to our brokenness, to the ways we wound our lives, the lives of others, and the life of the world. God of life, we confess that too often we fail to recognize the time, what each moment calls for. We miss opportunities to show courage, to share compassion, to exhibit patience, to demonstrate sacrifice. Call us once again to the practice of presence and grant us wisdom to rise to each moment. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, who taught us to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. With the whole church, we affirm that we are made in God's image, befriended by Christ, empowered by the Spirit. With the people everywhere, we affirm God's goodness at the heart of humanity. With all creation, we celebrate the miracle and wonder of life, the unfolding purposes of God, forever at work in ourselves and the world. So Lent begins in the winter. And in the winter, it looks as though the natural world is inactive. Everything is just covered in snow. But beneath the surface, underground, the natural world is preparing itself to support life. Beneath the surface is our theme for Lent this year. And it's a metaphor we're using to help us think about the invitations of this season to us. Beneath the surface right now, the natural world is gathering the forces needed to support the renewal of life. And the spiritual season of Lent helps us to do the same with our own lives. Whoops. That's not my phone. Okay. That's okay. I had an alarm set on my phone because I needed to remind Sebastian to get out the door to go somewhere, and I was worried I forgot to turn it off. That's okay. So where was I? So Lent, yeah. So beneath the surface, stuff is going on. And, you know, in our lives too, right now, beneath the surface, that's the invitation of Lent, to kind of go deep and look at how we use our spirituality to support the renewal of our lives, and not just our own lives, but the life of the world. That's what this season's about. So opening the theme, this is what we've been exploring. The first week, we looked beneath the surface at bacteria and fungi restoring the soil, and we asked ourselves what needs repairing and restoring within us so that we can better support life. And last week, we looked at water and water in the form of snow as a protective and insulator in supporting life beneath the surface. And we talked about how the natural world can be a teacher to us, how it can reveal what God is like, and how this communion can help restore our lives and our living. And this week, beneath the surface, we're looking at roots. So roots maintain the life of a tree or a shrub. They absorb water, they prevent trees from drying out, they store nutrients. Beneath our own surfaces, Lent asks us to consider what roots us and to ask how we are drawing on our roots, our family, our ancestors, our faith tradition, our spiritual practices, to steady us and sustain us in the same way that roots sustain a tree. So, my question for you this morning, for your own hearts, what family tradition, what ancestor, what spiritual practice roots you? Have you called on this practice or tradition lately? Why or why not? How might you lean into your roots to help you better sustain your own life and the life of others? I invite you into a moment of contemplation as Sarah plays.
Let us pray. God of call, God of transformation, God of the Lenten journey, help us to discern your still, small voice. Open us up to change and growth that we may walk with Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. A reading from Esaias chapters 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to throw away stones, and time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. May God bless to our understanding these words of ancient scripture.
Friends, our response is in song. We are singing Psalm 23. You'll find it at 747 in Voices United.
Thank you. Our second reading is by John O'Donohue, Words of Blessing in the Celtic Tradition. Let us bless the imagination of the earth that knew the early patience to harness the mind of time, waited for the seas to warm, ready to welcome the emergence of things dreaming of voyaging among the stillness of the land. And how light knew to nurse growth until the face of the earth brightened beneath a vision of color. Let us thank the earth that offers ground for home and holds our feet firm to walk in space open to infinite galaxies. Let us salute the silence and certainty of the mountains, to wonder of a garden trusting the first warmth of spring, the kindness of the earth opening to receive our worn forms into the final stillness. Let us remember within us the ancient clay holding the memory of seasons, the passion of the wind, that we may awaken to live to the full the dream of the earth. May these words comfort us, challenge us, and inspire us.
And in response, we sing, "Be Thou My Vision." We're singing verses 1 and 2 and verse 4. Friends, let us pray for our wider world, for our community. God of Sabbath rest, we offer thanks for the divine peace you give us, and for what helps us to feel rooted and steady, for health shelter, food, relationships, identities, meaningful work, and all the people who make us who we are. We pray this morning for peace. We pray that it be the time for peace beyond understanding, for peace in the face of tragedies and challenges, for peace in the places in our world where there is conflict. We pray for peace in Iran, peace in Lebanon, peace in Gaza, peace in Israel, peace in the United States, peace in Ukraine, peace in Russia. We pray for peace, for any who are sick, for all who are grieving, and for each one who is lonely. We pray for peace and provision for all who are unhoused, for any who are hungry, and for all who are seeking employment. God of Sabbath rest, in this moment, we offer to you our deepest prayers in the silence of our hearts. God of Sabbath rest, we pray for peace. Amen. And I'll invite you to join me in our response and offering. We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God as a blessing for the world. And I also invite you to our sacred gesture this morning in honor of the season of Lent, which is a word related to lengthening, and lent, the French word for slow. You're invited to come forward to receive an invitation for gathering vital energy, as we know the plants are doing in this time of lengthening daylight. So you can gather, there's two baskets at the front. One has an invitation for gathering energy, and the other basket has an invitation to help you to slow down. You can take from one or the other or both. All of the invitations are based on the traditional pillars of Lent: prayer, fasting, almsgiving, which is just another way of saying generosity. All of the invitations encourage us to reassess, refocus, align ourselves more fully with the life that God intends for us and for our world. So that gesture is open to you, and the baskets are just on our table. You might also use this moment to make an offering to the life and work of this community, and our box is at the back. And equally, you can take a moment just to sit and rest and delight in that moment of sitting and resting. The moment is yours.
Well, good morning, and please accept my apologies for not being able to be with you in person. I do always appreciate the warm welcome I receive when I'm with you, but this time the promise of foul weather wins out. But here we are. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share some remarks with you. Let me begin with a story this morning, a story about Buckley's cough syrup. This is about 10 or 12 years ago. I was at Emmanuel College and was attending a workshop, an event being put on by a Scottish visitor, John Bell. And he was touring, giving these conferences in a variety of places, and he had a bad cough. It was in the late winter, probably right around this time. So during an intermission in the proceedings, I asked if in Scotland whether they have Buckley's cough syrup, if he's ever heard of that. He said no, he hadn't, so later on I purchased one and left it for him. A couple of weeks later, I received a message from him. Now, you'll have to imagine this being delivered in a thick and sardonic Glasgow accent, which I won't try here, but he said to me, well, it tasted like vomit strained through a fisherman's socks, but it worked. Now that's Buckley's reputation, isn't it? Though they might not exactly use that language. Here's what I want to get at. Why was he there and why was I there? John Bell is a writer and composer and a teacher in what we could describe as the new Celtic version of Christianity. Irish in its origins in the 6th and 7th century by migration over to the island of Iona and on to other parts of Scotland. It became prominent again in a kind of renewal in the 1960s and 70s. And then during a large part of my career through the 80s and 90s, many of us in the traditional churches, and myself especially, were drawn to this expression of faith, recovered from an ancient expression of faith. It fit. It was a good fit for us in the place where we were at that particular time. Let me describe some of the characteristics of what we could call the new Celtic Christianity. Simple and traditional folk music, in addition to some of the more complex classical music, the recovery of some very ancient folk tunes in the music, very poetic blessings and prayers, very intimate emotional language, a love of the earth and of the creatures of the earth. In fact, very clearly finding the presence of God in the earth and in the creatures of the earth, and especially in what they called thin places, places in the world where the presence of the holy could be especially easily touched and embraced. They preferred community rather than hierarchy, and they preferred the language of original blessing rather than original sin. We've borrowed some of the language and the imagery of this new Celtic tradition in the readings and prayers in the service here today, some of this Irish-Scottish flowering of Christianity. When I was on sabbatical, visiting actually for a week on the island of Iona some years back, I had determined that in my own personal practice, it was too complex. I needed one simple prayer that could be a part of my daily journey. So I chose one from the Iona community tradition. Very, very simple. It said, "You are the love, O God, of every living creature. You are the warmth of the rising sun. You are the white of the moon at night. You are the strength of the waves in the sea, and you are the green of the growing earth. Speak to us this day, O God, speak to us in love." A simple, poetic and earth-loving form of Christianity. Now, at the same time as this flowering of this version of Christianity was going on, at the same time, other things were happening. In the global south, in Africa, in South America, there was a ferociously conservative version of Christianity that was flowering, a version of the faith that was sharp and narrow and tolerated no innovation. It had no soft edges to it. In the United States and in part of Canada, there was a fundamentalism that was emerging and flowering. In our day, this fundamentalism, especially in the U.S., has become a white Christian nationalism that we're starting to hear more and more about. This version of Christianity is typically misogynistic. It does not have a respect for women. It is homophobic. It is racist, it is narrow, and it is often violent. These are some of the other versions of Christianity that were flourishing at this time. So the situation, as I see it, for anyone who is seeking a spiritual life, is this. There are, at any given moment, a variety of versions available of what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to be part of a community of people following Jesus. And it matters which one we choose. It matters which version of the person and the teachings of Jesus we adopt, because it will shape our lives and it will shape the life of the world. Here's a metaphor. Some years ago, I found in a store on Yonge Street an action figure Jesus doll. I don't make this stuff up. It really was there. I didn't buy it, but I could have. There were various poses available for this action figure Jesus doll. Are you joyful? You can have the arms of this Jesus raised. Are you hungry? You could have arms stretched out. And in fact, a little plastic loaf of bread comes with the action doll Jesus. Are you angry? The arms bend and you can raise the fists of this Jesus. Are you humble? This action figure Jesus can kneel in humility. Which leads to the question, all of this, who do you need him to be today for you, for us? Is there not simply one Jesus, solid and immutable, immovable? Or is Jesus, in fact, the original movable feast who can be many things in many places and for many needs? My claim today, in all of this, is that there is not one true and accurate version of the person and the teachings of Jesus. He is always being interpreted. Or, to be more precise, there may well be such an immovable Jesus, but this lies outside of the range of our capacities to know. Shrouded in the mists of time and the countless biases and interpretations and corruptions that we have brought to his story. So it's a quandary, and I see two possible ways out of the quandary. The first, which I don't much like, is that we can never know with any useful certainty who he was. And we should abandon the attempt. To speak or to act with certainty about him in any way, to preach, to sing, is hubris. We ought to, in humility, have very little to say, to pray, or to sing about this Jesus, because we cannot know. That's the first way out of the quandary. The second one, which I prefer, goes like this. As we sometimes sing in the old hymn, there is a wideness in God's mercy. In the face of violence and anger, Jesus was a man of peace, and he taught the ways of peace. But in the face of injustice, Jesus could also be a man of anger who taught a way of resistance to evil. In the presence of those who questioned his ways, he could be strong. He could be strong and brilliant in his intellect in the disputes with the Pharisees. And in the presence of loss and grief, he could be weak and gentle, holding emotions as one might hold a baby bird. God sees the little sparrow fall. So, what to make of all of this? How to go forward? Here's what I have. First, that we pay attention to what is going on, to where we are, to what our needs are, and what the needs of the world are at this moment. And be led by that. Are you grieving? Ask for the companionship of the Jesus who wept for Lazarus unashamedly. Are you lost? Are you perhaps hoping for a way through the complexities of what might be ahead for you? Ask for the companionship of the Jesus who said, "I am the way, and I have come so that you might have life. Will you walk with me?" Are you angry and even perhaps hopeless about the poverty and the war and the violences in which we are immersed right now? Ask for the Spirit, which is wind and fire, to galvanize us, to speak truth, and to firmly seek what is just. When despair for the world and for our children arises in you, seek to be among those who know a Jesus whose ancient love, whose aching love rolls on, and who is the Lord of the dance. Wide indeed is God's mercy, and he is the movable feast. By him we will be fed. May it be so.
Well, we're grateful for your wisdom always with us, Doug, remotely, in person, however you come to us. Thank you for your words. Friends, we stand and sing in response. Praise with joy the world's creator. In this season of refocus and renewal, we release from ourselves that which minimizes our lives and the lives of others. God of the Lenten journey, as the smoke from this candle rises to greet you, may it take with it all of our hesitancy to meet the moment. We pray that you fill us with your courage in its place. Walk with us as we journey to Easter. May God be with you. Go into this week sustained by God's loving embrace of all that you are and by God's loving presence in all that you do. We sing our blessing to each other as we go.